Welcome to the Washington Defender Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute, and we are here at the Roanoke Conference in Ocean Shores, Washington. I have a special guest with me, Jim Walsh. Welcome to the program.
Good to talk to you, Brian. Glad to see you out here. This is kind of my neck of the woods. It's not my legislative district, but it is my county. I live in the county, and we're in the part of the county that's the 24th legislative district in Washington. If you go just a little bit east of here, where I live in Aberdeen, it's the 19th district.
Okay.
So Grays Harbor County is kind of split between two legislative districts.
And we're like that little peninsula, I think. It's correct. Like it could fall in the ocean. It looks like I was a little bit nervous, but I guess it's okay.
It's been here a long time.
Oh, okay.
Should it's going to be, and I don't think that the oceans are rising quite fast enough. I think if you're in Ocean Shores, you're okay.
Okay. Yeah. You know, you listen to some people out there, and it's like, we're going to drown really fast. So tell us what's on your heart, where we're going with
House. There's so much.
Yeah.
So this Roanoke Conference, of course, they do it every year here, and it's very policy driven.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of politically, I would say it's center right. It's not super conservative, but right. it's kind of in the tradition of Dan Evans and Slade Gorton and some of those Ralph Monroe and some of those Republicans. Conservatives, they call themselves conservatives, but they're center right. And we are talking about a lot of policy here, certainly one of the biggest pure policy issues right now in this state and in Olympia at the Capitol right now is the Washington State Parents Bill of Rights.
Yeah. So when we look at that this topic, there's kind of like two arguments. It's like either the government's going to be the parent or the parent's going to be the parent. So bring me into that conversation.
Well, I mean, I and you and others believe the parent should be the parent.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a little bit to unpack on the issue. We were very successful last year with an initiative that created in state law in Washington the Parents' Bill of Rights. To most of it's not controversial stuff at all.
Right.
It's largely about notification and information. That critical information about a minor child cannot be withheld from the parent or guardian, legal guardian, and custodial.
I mean,
so the custodial parent or legal guardian has to be told, to be given information, whether it's school-related activity for K-12, whether it's health information.
Right.
And we were careful. There is other law that talks about certain kinds of health information. Nationally, there's HIPAA, which is the medical privacy law.
Mm-hmm.
At the state of Washington level, there's the so-called mature minor doctrine. We carefully crafted the Bill of Rights to not interfere with those other laws, yet say that a parent, when they can be told, must be told what's going on with their child. Good piece of legislation, well drafted. I'm a little self-serving in saying that. I was involved in drafting it. But we did it carefully. I mean, we did it in a way where we thought there would be no chance of the court overturning it or something like that.
So if I'm hearing you right, this seems like, and maybe I am the alt-right, I don't know, but it just seems like a common sense thing where it's like, so parents have right to access of what's happening with their child, and this would be on the in the case of medical, but really any other rights too that they...
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. And the initiative and the Bill of Rights covers more than just medical. The medical pieces of it get the most attention because they are the most controversial.
Right.
And this does touch on some hot button issues, some of the gender affirming care issues, some of the abortion issues. I mean, it does touch on those. Now, again, the Bill of Rights as drafted doesn't interfere with other law on these issues.
Right.
It is largely notification information.
Mm-hmm.
The parent just has to be told what's happening.
Right.
It doesn't mean that a minor's ability to get certain kind of medical care changes. Even if you think it should change, this particular piece of legislation didn't change those things. So it was done as an initiative. We did it as an initiative. It gathered enough signatures. It qualified.
Mm-hmm.
It was drafted as an initiative to the legislature, which means it didn't go straight to the people for a vote. First, it went to the legislature to be considered as a bill. And if the legislature passed it into law, then it becomes law. It doesn't need to go to the people.
Right.
That is what happened.
So I want to pause there. So in the state of Washington, we have one of the strongest constitutions. And this constitution says that the people reserve two powers to themselves, the initiative process and the referendum process. And so what you're saying is that this went through that process, got enough signatures. And then in that process, the legislators get to decide whether that becomes law. That's the first step. If not, it goes out to the people. Is that correct?
Okay. And that's exactly what happened.
Right.
The legislature said, well, this is, you know, we can't really quibble with this. We can't ignore it. It's a hot, it's an important issue. So the legislature passed it into law. So now we have in Washington state law, the Parents' Bill of Rights codified that parents must be told of information relating to their minor child, school, healthcare, and mental health care. And so immediately the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, sued, claiming that it violated other law, which we carefully crafted it not to do. The ACLU lost that lawsuit. In fact, the last court ruling on that lawsuit just happened a few days ago, and the court said, ACLU, you lose. The Parents' Bill of Rights is good law. It doesn't conflict with existing law. It was done. They were making procedural arguments that it went about the wrong way. They said, no, it went about the right way. The legislature voted on it. This is good law. The court, and this was a Washington state court, largely perceived to be left-leaning, very strong decision in defense of the Parents' Bill of Rights. That's a great piece of news. Now, the sort of field of play changes to the political.
Okay, so before you go to that, the cliffhanger. So ACLU says, we want to go against the will of the people.
Right.
Get against the will of the representatives who put that into law. Does that go through House and Senate?
Went through House and Senate,
okay, so it does go through House and Senate. So the will of House and Senate, and we want to sue, saying that there's some procedural problem and not listen to all. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
And this was the ACLU, right?
Yeah.
And
they, you know, they always spike the football when they win a lawsuit. They're a little more quiet when they lose one, and they've not been very loud about this one where they lost.
Right. So, but I thought the ACLU was really about, you know, protecting the people's rights, but it seems like this is the opposite. Like they're like, you know, suppressing the people's rights. Is that, am I seeing this wrong or what?
It is inconsistent with what they say they're for. It's true. The ACLU, at least here in Washington State, the local chapter of it, has gotten very wrapped around the axle about gender-affirming care, about transgender issues. And they are basically violating the whole principle of what they stand for in order to be advocates for transgender care, gender-affirming care.
Right.
So they've been, I mean, this is inconsistent with the stated kind of philosophical position of their organization. They've, in my opinion, they've gotten very political, and they're running against the spirit of what their organization is for what I consider sort of a short-term political gain.
I see. And gender-affirming care, just so we're clear, you know, there's one part, one group of people who think, you know, the plumbing you got is the plumbing you are, and there's another group of people that say, well, your emotional or your spiritual and or thought of those things is really what determines gender, right? So there's kind of like two camps, just broadly speaking. I know I've studied the 72 genders. Some of those are spirit genders. Some of those are emotional genders. Some of those are a lot of things. And when, you know, and it's just that there's this battle that's going on for this. I think just in a very simplified way is to think about this way. When you are going through puberty, it's probably not the best time to try to figure out, you know, all these big decisions for life. It's very difficult because your hormones are racing. You don't feel right. You don't feel this. And I don't know of very many teenagers who feel really good about their bodies at that spot. It may not be the greatest point of discernment. So, all right. So we're at this point. We have the decision made.
And Brian, exactly that point in time is when a young kid needs family support the most.
Right, exactly.
To tell you you're loved, to tell you you're okay person.
Right, yeah.
You know, you're going through a hard space. We all kind of go through that one way or another.
Yeah.
And you're good. You're fine. You're going to get through this. This is not, you know, this doesn't cheapen or define or change who you are. You are who you are.
Right.
And what a lot of people on the far left don't like is that idea that this is where a loving family actually is of the greatest help to a
young kid. That's right.
And they're angry and jealous about families being able to really counsel and minister each other and lift each other up.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of really interesting politics around this issue.
Yeah, there are. So we have it going to the court system. The court has agreed that it's good law. Now what?
Now it goes back to the political world. Mm-hmm. Those same people that I just mentioned a minute ago who are just very against the idea of healthy families and families being good support for children, they want to overturn the Washington State Parents Bill of Rights. It's good law. The courts have said it's good law. But in the legislative world, you know, nothing's ever permanent.
Right.
And they want to pass new law that overturns the good law.
Right.
And so they are pushing right now through the legislature in Olympia state bills. Mm-hmm. There are a couple, but at least one in the state house and a different one, but similar in the state senate, mm-hmm. that would in different ways overturn the Parents' Bill of Rights. Mm. These are done, of course, in the premise that they're for greater inclusivity, right. or for the safety of children, but that's not what they are. The truth is, what they are is they're trying to overturn the Parents' Bill of Rights. Mm-hmm. And you know, you scratch just an inch under the surface of these bills, and you'll hear a lot of anger directed at healthy families.
Right. Well. So what they're doing is they're adding to the bill, or are they just making the new bill, new law, or how are they doing that?
They're striking parts of the Parents' Bill of Rights out of law, and replacing it with other language that is effectively the opposite. Whereas the Parents' Bill of Rights defends with clear language what parents and guardians must be told, must be informed of about their children's health and mental health and school activities. This now says that they explicitly, in some cases, now there are a couple of slightly different versions of it, but they say explicitly, they strike out that stuff, mm-hmm. and they say explicitly that there are things that parents must not be told about what their minor children are experiencing. Mm-hmm. And again, this is done in a kind of sophistic, legalistic argument that by excluding parents and guardians from what's happening with their children, the law is protecting the child. I don't agree with that premise.
Yeah, and I think that the idea of a parent guardian, and when I'm saying parent, I'm speaking of any of the legal guardians or custodian or
grandparents,
all that. I think that they know what's best, and this is the question we're fighting. Do parents know what's best? Do government know what's best? And do the child know what's best? And we have those three tensions coming in. And I can tell you, having been a parent and now a grandparent with three grandkids, I can tell you that oftentimes children don't know what's best for them. It's just a fact. I mean, they haven't matured to know that. I also know government doesn't know what's best. I have a disabled child who's never walked, talked, you know, trach, G-tube, almost died many times. And we've had the government tell us certain things. And we're like, are you insane? That would kill her, right? They don't know what's best. I do know that my wife, who's a champion, she has the ability to know these things. I believe she knows what's best for my daughter specifically, is who I'm thinking of. And so we have these rules. Do you have the bill numbers? Or I don't have them off the top of my head. So
Sure. The bills that would undo the Washington State Parents' Bill of Rights, the House version is House Bill 1296. Mm-hmm. The Senate version is Senate Bill 5181. Okay. Now, they are not... Sometimes you will see identical bills in both chambers. These two bills are not identical. Okay. They each approach the overturning of the Bill of Rights in different ways, but they are effectively similar in that they both aim to overturn the Washington State Parents' Bill of Rights.
So I know Family Policy is tracking both of these bills. If you want to download that Washington Defender app and follow those through committee, we need people to testify, register their position, written testimony. You know, we need people to step up and remotely testify as well and let their voice be heard.
Absolutely, we do. There's no question. And remember, both of the bills, I believe both of the bills have gone through their House of Origin committee. Mm-hmm. So that they are on their way to floor votes, respectively, in the State House and the State Senate.
Right.
But when and if they get voted through the floor vote on each of the chambers, they then have to go to the other chamber.
The other chamber,
so
right.
There will be another opportunity for a committee hearing and public testimony if the bills pass the House of Origin chamber, mm-hmm. they will go over to the other chamber, and then we'll get another chance to talk about the issue. So this issue is far from over, and there is still opportunity to register your opinion, to voice your I hope opposition to these bills,
right.
And like you say, you can even remotely testify The state legislature uses a Zoom platform, right, and you can sign up for that and get a link and log on and speak online if you care to. And you can always show up in Olympia if you want to. I know, Brian, you've been at the Capitol leading some prayer groups in there to get directly involved.
Exactly. And this is what we're telling people. First off, what won't be helpful is if you come there and just reveal your flesh and the idea of yelling at people, cussing at people, pulling people down, that's not going to win an argument. It's coming there and having reasonable discussion that is clear, abundantly clear, right? And this is where people don't understand. It's not rude to be abundantly clear.
But you
need to be abundantly
clear. Thank you for appreciating that, Brian. I'm often accused of being rude when I'm very clear.
Yeah.
Good point.
There's a book it's not a Christian book or anything, but it's called, I'll think of it in just a minute. But she tells a story. Her dog was out of the line, right? Just like going crazy. And this guy who trains dogs comes along and gets the dog's attention, gets him to sit down, and looks at her and says, "You tolerating this behavior, your dog's going to be dead." Because it was running out, you know, it was on a leash, but it was pulling right, and all this kind of stuff. You're not being loving by treating your dog this way. And it like floored me. Like sometimes direct communication, people think, "Oh, that's not loving." No, it is loving. If someone's going to get hurt, and I believe that this hurts children, it's unloving to be silent or say pleasant words that are so unclear that you don't even know what they're saying.
The greatest success in life is when your child comes back to you, maybe it's a few days later, maybe it's some years later.
Decades,
and says to you, you know, in that moment, remember that fight we had over that thing? You know, Dad, Mom, you were right. Yeah. I was a bullheaded kid. I didn't know what I was doing. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's one of the greatest things in life.
So when people testify or register their position, what helps you? What do you see persuades people, maybe of both sides? What's beneficial?
Well, as we're saying, I mean, clarity of message is beneficial. You'll sometimes get people who want to testify or make a comment, and it takes them a while to kind of find their thread and get there. Know what you want to say well. I mean, prepare.
Right.
And have the most important point you want to make the first thing you say.
Yeah.
Because time is often very limited for public testimony. Sometimes it's absurd. Sometimes people will be given 30 seconds to speak. Usually it's a couple of minutes, so it's better than that. But still, a couple of minutes goes fast.
It does.
So have your couple of points in your head and make sure you start right at the beginning of your comment period, your ability to speak, with your main point and just get there. Right. And then you can say who you are after that. You can set it up with context after that, but make that first point immediately. And that's impactful.
When I teach Robert's Rules, I say this: I'm against this. You know, like you say, write what your position is. I'm asking you to vote against this or what have you. And then my point, then who I am, why I'm a professional, and then I'm against this, right? So it's kind of like the sandwich of what you're asking people to do.
On the floor of the legislature, I always do that, and many of us do, because we're never sure when we're going to get gaveled down for whatever we're saying. So make sure you start by saying, you know, this is a bad bill, you know, please vote no.
Yeah, exactly. And
then you can take it from there.
Right, exactly right. Any closing remarks you have for our listeners today?
I think that the Parents' Bill of Rights in this state is a good thing. And it's important to stress that even the state court ruled that it's good law.
Right.
A lot of times when legislation starts out as an initiative, the courts will believe or people will believe that there are flaws, that the initiative is kind of an amateur way to make legislation and there are flaws and initiatives. Yeah. Well, this isn't true in this case, and we literally had the court just recently rule that the Parents' Bill of Rights is good, solid law.
Right.
So they can't get it on those terms, the opponents. They're going to have to overturn it politically, and that's where I think we can push back effective.
Awesome. Well, you heard it from Jim Walsh today. I'm so thankful for you coming on, and whatever we can do to help move families forward in a safe way, let us know.
Well, you guys are doing a good job so far. Let's just keep activated and, you know, let's get out the vote. The next time we have the legislative election cycle coming, there'll be some special elections in 2025. Most will be 2026.
Right.
Let's get out the vote.
Let's do it. What many people don't realize is about 1.3 million Christians in the state of Washington did not participate in the last election. What that means is that we could have taken every election. We could have run the House, the Senate, and the executive branch if Christians just simply participated. We want to thank you for listening to the Washington Defender podcast. We are so glad that you're here. If you haven't downloaded that app yet, go to the Google Play or Apple App Store, download Washington Defender app. Like we like to say around here, go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square.